You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, April 21st, 2025. Grandpa Dan streaming with you at RadioAlbion.com. Streaming with you in a somewhat exasperated state. You know, I view everything in the narrative, everything presented in the mainstream media, as just script writing. We're just watching a show. All of this stuff. We're just watching a show. And the script writers, just like all of your shows that you see on TV, if you watch regular TV, you know that the script writing is garbage. I mean, you can go back and watch some old shows from back in the day, and they're more entertaining than anything on TV today. I'm going somewhere with this. Bear with me. You know, there was some originality, you know, some cutting edge, something that made a show stand out, even after all these years. You know, you can mention some of these old shows and people know what they are right away. The script writing on the shows today is lazy and really low tier. It's the same with like your late night comedians. You know, I mean, if you go back and watch old reruns of like Johnny Carson or something, there was some stuff that was at least somewhat entertaining there. And you look at these late night comedians now, and obviously their writers, their script writers, the people writing their jokes are on the level of college interns. It's the same with all of these shows. We need better script writers for our narrative because all of this stuff is just low tier. It is just, it's like they're cheaping out. They have all of this money. Why don't we get higher tier script writing? When you view all of these things in this sort of context, such as I do, it at least makes some of this somewhat more entertaining. We are going to the Daily Mail today, of course, is my want. I almost did something else today. Before we're done, you may wish I had. But we will be going to the Daily Mail for a selection of stories today. And I have to start off, and I don't even know how much of the story I'm going to go through. I have to start off, of course, the big news today is that Pope Francis is dead. The Pope has passed. Now, I don't want to be insulting to any of our Catholic listeners here. I don't have nothing, you know, I'm not anti-Catholic. I'm not trying to insult anybody. At the same time, I'm not Catholic, so I really don't give a shit. But this is the big story. This is the big story. So I have to mention it. I have to bring it up. Now, as far as I'm concerned, and again, I'm not Catholic, and I'm really not trying to throw shade at anybody. And you may hear this and be like, you ain't Catholic, you ain't got no room talking about our beloved Pope Francis. But I mean, to me, in other words, I'm going to do it anyway. But to me, this guy, I never could view this guy as a legitimate pope. Because the last guy, the last pope, you remember him? I had never, and I've been around a minute. And again, I admit I'm not Catholic. You know, I put that caveat out there up front, being up front with y'all. But I have never in my lifetime heard of a cope of... Excuse me. I've never heard of a cope. I've never heard of a pope retiring. It's like a lifetime appointment. And yet the last pope is in there. And then all of a sudden you hear, well, he's leaving. And I'm like, wait, what? He's leaving. So the last pope was basically forced out. Now, you can get into the intrigue and whatnot behind that. But I don't know how you view it as any way, except that he was forced out. I've never heard of a pope just simply saying, well, I'm tired of this pope gig. I'm going to go retire. So they forced the last pope out and put this pope in. And let's be honest, if we're summing up Pope Francis's reign as pope, it would have to be welcome more migrants and, you know, all this gay stuff isn't so bad. After all, that has to be your impression. Again, and this is from a perspective of a non-Catholic. But if you just had to summarize the era of Pope Francis, it would be more gays and more migrants. I was thinking this morning about this, and I thought, you know, the most interesting thing about this is I was thinking, because I think about things. I think, where are these scriptwriters going to go with this story? Because it is. Everything you're presented is a narrative. They're telling you a story. I was thinking, where could they go? Where's somewhere interesting they could go with the Pope Francis story? And I was thinking, just outside of the box, as I want to do. And I was thinking, what if they resurrect this guy, quote unquote, resurrect this guy here in a week or so? What if, hypothetically, and I'm not saying they're going to do this, but it was a mental exercise, and I wanted to share my mental exercising with the rest of you. But what if they were to resurrect some younger version of this guy and say, Pope Francis has risen from the dead? What if they were to do that? And then the science came in behind and said, yeah, we ran DNA tests on him, and this is the guy, only he looks 40 years younger. Look at this. It's Pope Francis is raised from the dead. And of course, we know what his message would be. White countries need more migrants. And you know what? While I was dead, I talked to God personally. And yeah, we're all wrong on this homosexual stuff. We need to get with the times. We need to get more modern. The Lord said we need to be more modern. We need to be more welcoming. And we need more migrants. Now, if that were to happen, and again, I'm not saying it would, but again, it's just a fun exercise. I was thinking, if they did that and the science came out and said, we DNA tested this guy and he's 100% Pope Francis, come back from the dead. You know, I'm thinking people would believe it. You know, y'all know I've spoken many times about what I've used the futility of, quote unquote, waking people up. People just go along with it. They watch any kind of TV show, no matter how poor the script is. And I was thinking, a lot of people would just go along with this. They would just accept it without question. Because after all, the science says so. Really, what percentage of people do you think would go along? And I'm not even just picking on Catholics per se. I'm saying people in general. I'm not saying how many Catholics would believe it. But how many people do you think would actually believe it? I think more than you would like to admit. Anyway, I had a story here about, you know, that's pondering who's going to be the next pope. Of course, like I say, if our scriptwriters just resurrected Pope Francis, that'd be more entertaining. But I'm not going to go through this story about who's going to be the next pope. I think it'd be funny if they did have an African pope. That would be funny. I don't think you're going to get that because there could potentially be more entertaining if you had an African pope, because they might not go along. Maybe not. I don't know. But anyway, I don't care. Like I said, I the only reason I'm mentioning it is because that is the big news, and it's incumbent upon me to mention the story. Let's keep moving, because this I found more entertaining. And this still, again, relates to not only the scriptwriters are bad, but the special effects people need some work too. This is embarrassing. It's bad enough. Look, if I had a board meeting with the narrative, you know, we gather up a board meeting, we talk with them, we got the media here, and we got all these government people and Hollywood people, and I gather these people up for a narrative meeting about what we're promoting and how we're doing this stuff. You know, you've got to call some people out. You know, look, y'all have been looped and y'all out there working, and you know what it's like. I always say nothing has ever been accomplished in a meeting in my lifetime. Anytime I've had to go to a meeting, nothing ever really came about from it. And one thing that's really tiring is when you have to go to a meeting and like they gather it up and they act like everybody's doing something, you know, and then it's instead of just pointing out individual people, you know, like instead of just calling this one person in the office and saying you're screwing up, they have a meeting and they do this blanket vagary, passive aggressive, you know, thing where everybody's supposed to act like they don't know who's screwing up. See, if I was holding a meeting, I wouldn't do that. I would hold a meeting and call people out right in front of everybody. And right here, I would be like, special effects team for the narrative. What the hell are you people doing? What do you do? You have a budget. And this sort of crap is the best you can do. Seriously. I picked this story, y'all. I'm going to use the picture for the cover picture for today's show. Because it's so laughably bad. I mean, this isn't... Let's get into it and I'll comment some more. This is hilarious. And again, this isn't a ground-shaking story, but it is evidence of how poorly this narrative is being run. We need a shake-up at the top. The special effects people are being lazy. The script writers are lazy. This is just all around poor. I get it that people go along with pretty much anything, so y'all feel like you can work from home and just phone this shit in. But we need a better effort, guys. We do. This headline is Joe Biden accused of Easter Photoshop fail. Like, now I can understand the idea that the senile old man was the one who did this Photoshop, but we know Joe Biden didn't do anything. So I think it is inaccurate and quite frankly unfair to accuse Joe Biden of this. This is just not right. You know, just like we know that Joe Biden didn't sign anything, they had the auto pen doing it because he was sitting in the corner, whatever. He's in there watching Gunsmoke. He was watching stuff on the Dish TV because that's the only people that get Dish TV is old people. He was in there watching reruns of Gunsmoke or Matlock or some shit. And these other people were running around running the quote-unquote Biden administration. And then they had the nerve to put this headline, Joe Biden accused of Easter Photoshop fail. Joe Biden didn't do nothing here. Joe Biden posted, like, Joe, dude, does anyone think Joe Biden can run the internet, can do anything on the internet? Joe Biden posted a smiley photo of himself and Jill surrounded by their family on Easter Sunday. However, many people online were quick to call him out. The former Democratic president shared a heartfelt Twitter post. I say Twitter because I refuse to say X. Twitter post wishing his more than 38 million followers a happy Easter from him and his loved ones. We wish everyone celebrating today a peaceful and joyful Easter, he captioned. A photo that features his loved ones, without his son Hunter Biden sitting on a staircase in Delaware. But swaths of social media users and trolls claim that Biden had in fact photoshopped himself into the photo. Now I'm going to stop reading there. Online users and trolls pointing out and accusing Joe Biden himself. I let the picture speak for itself. Like I say, I'm going to use this picture for the cover picture for the story. This is so bad. Look, back in the day, I remember when people were making memes and back during like around 2015, 2016, and a lot of people, it was like the heyday of memery. Memetics, there we go. It was the heyday, and so many people were making memes, and you have all these different, programs, applications you can use to make these memes. And look, I'm going to tell y'all, I tell the truth even when it comes to, I couldn't do it worth shit. I was never good. I was horrible at it. I was just stealing everybody. I could just steal everybody else's memes because every time I tried to do my own, they were bad, but they weren't this bad. I gave up and just because everybody, you have to be able to admit when other people are more talented than you. And people were pumping out high quality memes. And every time I tried to do this stuff, man, it was bad. But it wasn't this bad. This is hilariously bad. This picture, they obviously took some picture of him standing somewhere, cut off his bottom torso and just simply stuck it in this picture. And they're trying to pass this off as real. It's breathtaking. This is why I said, if I was holding a board meeting of the narrative here, we're having the once a month narrative staff meeting to discuss everybody's projects and what we're doing. I would be calling it right here. I'm calling out the special effects group for the narrative. And I'm asking y'all, what in the hell is this? Don't be giving me Joe Biden did it, because we know that's bullshit. What are you people doing? Who the hell did this? I'm trying to think, because who could have done this? Jill Biden? Joe didn't do nothing here. I'm letting Joe off the hook. We don't even know if Joe's alive. Joe Biden at this point is like George Soros. We don't even know where that dude is or what he's up to. If he's still breathing air. Did they let, what was this done perhaps by one of Biden's grandkids? Or great grandkids? I don't know. See, Jill Biden, like, honey, you're good at that computer stuff. Put Papa Joe in the picture. Look, you special effects people, y'all are getting money, y'all are being paid. Get your shit together. What the hell is this? Why are we paying you? You're just making a joke out of this stuff. Just don't do it at all. They'd be like, we didn't have anything to do with this, sir. This is just something the Biden people went off and did on their own. The Biden people, the administration. This is just hilarious to me. I can't believe this was even put out. And then we're supposed to be shocked that internet trolls. You don't even have to be a troll. What do you mean trolls? This is so laughably bad. You could take this to you know, somebody who gets scammed by Nigerians, you know, some elderly relative that falls for this stuff and be like, does this picture look real or does it look funny to you? And they would be like, that don't look right. Where's his bottom half? Special effects people, you're not the only one they're getting called out on this narrative meeting, because a lot of y'all are getting lazy. I know we let y'all work from home during COVID. And you know, you're sitting around, and this is the problem. There's a problem with working from home because it encourages laziness. I know y'all will be sitting there telling me it don't make no difference. I can do the same job from home. I'll be a happier worker. I'll be putting out better work. But look, folks, this is not what we're seeing. This is not what we're witnessing. Your work quality is going down. When you're not forced to get up and get dressed and shave and put on actual clothes instead of your sweatpants, or heaven forbid, you know, pants at all, we're getting this lower and lower quality of work. And y'all are drawing a paycheck. Look, y'all going to have to either start coming into the office or you're going to have to pick it up a notch. This is where we're at. It doesn't have anything to do with Elon Musk and Doge. We're talking about low quality. Script writers. Our next story. We're moving to our next story. Literal who, female, has something to say on the internet. Tim Walz's daughter compares MS-13 gang members to Jesus Christ. Now, I don't. Why are we talking about this? Because this is international news. Laugh all you want, but the Daily Mail is an international publication. Tim Walz's daughter has caused a social media storm by saying that if Jesus were alive today, Donald Trump's administration would have claimed he was a member of MS-13 and deported him. Hope Walz, 24? Okay. 24 made the comment in a viral TikTok, which has been viewed more than 46,000 times as of Sunday night. If Jesus were alive today in the United States, this administration would already have taken him and removed him from this country without due process, she said. Well, probably. She may not be wrong. Inadvertently, she may not be wrong. Because, you know, all of that. All that talk about being children of the devil and not children of Abraham, she may have struck on something here. Just, you know, again, completely by accident. You script writers got to have to tighten this. tighten this up, because people might start thinking in terms of, yeah, you know, Jesus started talking about that, and we have all this stuff in the Bible about synagogue of Satan and yada yada. Yeah, they may have deported Jesus, but not not for the reasons that this young lady is saying. Waltz added that the Trump administration would have claimed he was a member of an MS-13 gang as a way to try to justify not giving him due process, as if there's any justifiable reason for not giving anybody due process. But yet people don't want to talk about that, the Minnesota governor's daughter added. Well, I'm supposed to take the opinion of somebody with a nose ring, you know, seriously. This is... At least she said this on TikTok and not on her OnlyFans. I don't want to be insulting. I don't want to be insulting, but I mean, let's be honest here. This is not somebody that you would look at and take their opinion seriously. I'll just put it that way. Like, if I was at the grocery store, minding my business, doing groceries, and this woman walks up to me with her thing stuck in her nose and says, let me tell you about my political opinions. Forget international news. I'm going to be like, nah, I got to buy celery, bitch. I ain't got time to talk to you. I don't care about your political opinions. And I'm not going to subscribe to your OnlyFans. This is... This is international news. You people are going to have to quit working from home. You're going to have to come in, because this is the kind of crap we're getting. This is a phone it in effort. We assign you a news story to put out. And I get it. You can only write about Meghan Markle so many times. But your idea of filler here is some literal who and their opinion comparing Jesus Christ to MS-13. This keeps up. Y'all are going to have to start showing up for work. Let's do one more. Then we can mercifully put this to rest for the day. Illegal migrant buses heading to airport is forced to turn around after bombshell SCOTUS ruling. SCOTUS. What do they use? I don't. SCOTUS. Every time I see SCOTUS, it sounds like something vulgar, you know? It really does. It sounds like something vulgar. Can we just quit being lazy? Just say Supreme Court. Why can't they just say after bombshell Supreme Court ruling instead of SCOTUS? It's just like if somebody walked up and started talking about having problems with their SCOTUS, I would be like, bruh, I don't care about what you've got going on with your SCOTUS. Yo, SCOTUS. Extraordinary footage has emerged showing busloads of Venezuelan detainees in the process of being deported before a stunning Supreme Court intervention. Thank you for using Supreme Court here instead of SCOTUS again. I have to stop here and say, we know there were migrants on the buses because the media is telling us so. Maybe they were all MS-13, or it could have been Jesus and his disciples. Let's ask this bitch with the nose ring. The bus is loaded with at least 28 migrants. Wait a minute. Hold on. 28. Okay, anyway, never mind. I'm sorry. 28? I mean... Hell, whenever they bust these people coming across, you know, catch people coming across the border, they'd be fitting, I'm going to tell you, they'd be fitting 28 migrants, in a minivan. Why would you need a bus? They come over packed 28 in the trunk of a car. I think you should take them to the airport, 28 in the trunk of the car, and feel more at home. The bus is loaded with at least 28 migrants were headed from ICE's Blue Bonnet Detention Center to Abilene Airport on Friday, according to NBC. The Immigration and Customs Enforcement buses were closely followed by a motorcade of 18 squad cars from various law enforcement agencies. The detainees, primarily Venezuelan, were driven back to the detention center after a bombshell Supreme Court ruling. Remember when we've been told multiple times that one of the reasons we need to keep voting isn't, even though you're voting for the lesser two evils, is think about the Supreme Court justices. How many times have we heard? Isn't it funny? If this is a legitimate system, going back to the meeting thing, look, people, we got to keep everybody buying into this being a legitimate system. And you can go back to we're not going to even be able to use this whole, vote because think of the Supreme Court justices with this sort of lazy writing. We've been told over and over that one of the important reasons you need to keep voting and buying into the system and adding legitimacy to it is because of the importance of who might get put on the Supreme Court. Remember that. And just like everything else, it hasn't made a damn bit of difference. The people are here illegally and they're shipping them back. Now, why, they're alleging in this article that these Venezuelans are being shipped to El Salvador, which kind of doesn't make sense to me. But setting that aside, the people they're talking about here are here illegally. And you have the Supreme Court saying, well, but you can't just send them back. Yes, you might have to vote for the lesser of two evils. But think about the Supreme Court justices. That's where it's at. You see, you're not just voting for whatever candidate. You have to think about who they're going to put on the Supreme Court. Because this is going to make a huge difference. Why we have this very conservative, practically fascist Supreme Court now. Doing these very fascist decisions. And it's the same decisions you get regardless. I don't know how many times. Whenever people are trying to convince, and I'm talking about the narrative people here. I'm talking like when regular people in your life, you people you work with, and they come up to you and they're like trying to convince you the importance of buying into the system. You got to vote. Why do I got to vote? Because the other guy's really bad. Because we got to have, you got to think about the Supreme Court. You see, you got to think about these things deeper. Think about the Supreme Court. It's always funny to me when you run into people, and it's one thing for young people, if it's somebody like this literal who woman with the nose ring, you expect them to be dumber than a box of rocks and no clue what's going on. I expect that. As soon as I clicked on this story and looked at this young lady's face, I expected what, like I said, if you ran into her at the grocery store and she opened her mouth, before any words came out, you would sit here and think, I'm fixing to hear something that's dumb as hell. You would just know. What gets me is when people like are my age and should know better. Now, I give the young people a pass because, they may not know better. But when somebody said that's like my age or heaven forbid older, and they come up and start trying to tell you about, we're doing this and we're doing that and you got to vote because we're getting all this stuff done. I mean, I've seen this show so many times. This is like when they do a remake. Every time. Just like what you see on TV. We're at this point of unoriginality with our narrative writers. We're at the point they're rebooting TV shows from the 70s. Like you turn on TV, have you heard about the hottest new show? No, what is it? It's Hawaii 5-0. And I'm like, I thought that went out, in the early 80s or some shit? What are you talking about? Then there's a new show coming out. What is it? Magnum P.I. How old is Tom Selleck now? I thought he was doing that cop show. Just rebooting. I went through the Tea Party thing. Remember the Tea Party thing? And we're going to vote these scoundrels out and put Tea Party candidates in here. And it's going to make a difference. We're throwing a revolution with the Tea Party. Which brought us the revolutionary figures such as Ted Cruz. He was a Tea Party guy. The Tea Party was like the early version of draining the swamp. Always think of these pictures of like, there were like old ladies walking around with their hats with tea bags hanging off of it. It gets me when somebody's old enough to know better and they come at you about how, you know, you still, this system, you still got to work like this system. You're going to fix things with the system. You got to vote. You got to keep buying and you got to keep lending legitimacy to the system because of things like Supreme Court. This is all a show. I would be willing to bet there weren't any migrants on the damn bus. You know, and what if there were? They just took them out riding around. They went down and they turned around and went back. It's all a show. And people take this shit seriously. They do. They take it. They 100% take this stuff seriously. And they come at you trying to talk about it like it's serious. And they'd be coming at you like you're part of the problem. If you would vote harder along with us, then things would change. And then when it doesn't work out, it's somehow your fault. Well, if you had voted too, well, you got the people you voted for. You had your Tea Party. You got Ted Cruz. What are you talking about? You know, I didn't vote in this last election. You still got Trump in there. And you know, there's people in the Supreme Court that he put there. Why is it my fault that the same shit that always happens is happening again? I don't know, man. You know? That's why I said early on when I opened this up, and y'all might have thought I was being a little over the top. I have been known to be a little over the top for the purpose of, for purely for entertainment purposes, but to make a point. When I said at the top of the show that if they did a fake resurrection of Pope Francis, that I think a lot of people would go along with it, Catholic or not. And this is kind of reason why I would base that on this. Is we keep doing this. We're going to change the system. We're going to vote harder. We're going to get these Supreme Court. We got the Supreme Court people in here. We got this person elected. We're doing this. We're holding a Tea Party. We're doing whatever the hell. And then it doesn't work out and they're shocked and they got to go back to the drawing board and redo the same thing again. And I don't know, you know, they believe it. They think this time you can actually see something happening. This is an example of this and we need to wrap up, but just an example of the silliness of people that continue to keep buying into this that should know better. There was a big hubbub, you know, Trump. One of the things we were really going to see change in, because as you all know, look, the election in 2020 was totally fake, that Joe Biden was not elected. I've said it, that's just observable reality. That's not conspiracy theory. That is as fake as Joe Biden's Photoshopped Easter picture. The idea that this guy who couldn't gather five people in a gymnasium somehow got more votes than anybody in the history of American elections ever is just so laughably bad. And then they go back and they say, the Trump people go back and say, but this time we're going to vote so hard. And I see people who normally might have decent opinions and well thought out opinions, and they will sit here and tell you that Trump got in this time because so many people voted that they couldn't fraud the election. And time and time again, I say that's bullshit. He made a deal. I said it leading up to the election, and he made a deal. He made a deal, and we're seeing what he got, and it looks like he didn't get much. It looked like we might get some things on the domestic front, and even there. As an example of this, there was big hubbub at the EPA, and his guy at the EPA, they said, we're not going to enforce any more of these ridiculous pollution regulations on the auto manufacturers. They can go back to making cars from the year 2000. And people got excited about that because all of this ridiculous crap that makes cars too expensive, and because we're having to go along with this notion that carbon dioxide is somehow now a pollutant. Anyway, there were a number of people excited about this, and they were like, yeah, man, finally, we're going to go back, and all of this is changing, and they're kicking it back in Congress. We've got all these bills before the Congress where they're going to roll back all of these EPA regulations, and we're going to get to some sanity. You're going to be able to buy an affordable car now. We're going to roll all this back, and there's multiple bills right now in Congress. Fast forward. And nothing's happening. And now they're going, hey, how come nothing's happening? Congress holds hearings and they give speeches in front of the media. That's what they do. And maybe this is one of the reasons why our narrative scriptwriters have gotten so lazy. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what kind of slop they put out. The people will buy into it anyway. We're going to wrap up on that note. I hope you enjoy the rest of your week. I will be back tomorrow with the Parish of the Patriots program. I hope you'll come back around, check that out as well. Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson will be here Wednesday with the Orthodox Nationalist. And Dr. Johnson will be here Thursday to wrap up the week with his Daily Nationalist, which is always a interesting take. So I hope you enjoy the rest of your week. I hope you'll get a chance to catch all of our content we'll have up here the next several days at Radio Albion. And as always, I hope you'll keep the faith, and I hope we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.